Thank you, Fran. And first of all, I want to say how pleased I am to be with you. I know a lot of you see Father Pavone and I on EWTN, but what I enjoy the most is when I have the opportunity to travel and be there personally with you. So I want to thank you for this opportunity. I also bring you, of course, greetings from Father Pavone, who you're here this evening, and our other full-time priests and staff. Our priests are currently traveling, as always, this weekend. We have priests in, I believe, Kansas, Michigan, and in Connecticut this weekend preaching. And we have two pastoral associates. If you saw our new newsletter, we have Jim Pinto and Paul Shank. And these are two Protestant ministers that have given up their pastorship and have come back, have come to the Catholic Church. They're now fully Catholic, and they have joined the staff of Priests for Life. So for that, it's exciting news. If you want to read about them, back on our table, our newsletter has their little stories, and it's quite a miracle, really, when you think of that. So God has been good. And now to talk about the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. And the first thing I have to really stress is this is not a separate group, and not another pro-life group or organization. This is a project of Priests for Life, and I'm the co-founder on the Priests for Life side. And my partner is Georgette Forney, and she's the president of an organization called NOEL, which is the National Organization of Episcopalians for Life. And Georgette and I had collaborated along with Father Pavone on our work with the National Pro-Life Religious Council, which Father Pavone currently serves as the president. And back in 2003, Georgette herself, who had had an abortion when she was 16, had spent many years considering herself pro-choice. And it took her almost 20 years to live in that denial. She eventually came back to her faith, came back to church, and, you know, full communion with the Episcopal Church again, and realized what the damage abortion had done to her life. Well, we were getting ready to prepare to go to the March for Life, like many of you do, and God bless Nellie Gray and Dee Becker. They do a super job, don't they? Give them an applause. Absolutely. And, you know, I said to Georgette, you know, a lot of people don't realize that after the March for Life, that evening at 6 p.m., now, the National Organization of Women in NARAL, they have a candlelight vigil. They come in front of the Supreme Court, and they're celebrating that terrible decision, Roe v. Wade. And, you know, and Georgette said to me, well, they should not act like they're speaking for all women. And I said, I absolutely agree with you. They shouldn't. So she says, well, you know what? I'm ready to face off with them. So I'm going to make myself a little sign. And she said, I regret, she wrote a sign that says, I regret choosing to abort my baby. And she said, I'm going to just go there, Janet, just to see what happens. So I said, okay. And off she went that night. And she came back later to the Hyatt where, you know, we have the rose dinner. And I said, well, so Georgette, how'd it go? And she said, you know, Janet, I'm really upset. And I said, what happened? She said, they basically ignored me. One girl came over to me and said, you know, honey, I'm really sorry you feel that way, but most women don't. You're just like an exception to the rule. So she came back very upset. And then the following year, we're getting ready, of course, for the 30th memorial of this decision. And I said to her, I said, you know what, Georgette? I said, I have a feeling there's more people than yourself that are willing to stand up and say they regret their abortion. I mean, let's look at the pro-life movement. You know, a lot of the people who are out there working in the crisis pregnancy centers and doing the work in the movement are women who have had abortions, but who have come full circle, all right? So I said, you know what, let's go back. I'm willing to help you. Let's develop something together, and let's make it happen. So the sign you see here on the podium, I regret my abortion. I designed those signs. And you have to remember my teaching background. You can see the blackboard experience going on there. I said, you know what? This has to be stark, that no matter where you are, even if you can't hear the women giving their stories, you'll see the sign and you'll get the message. So we made these signs. And then we just began networking. We sent email notices out through the crisis pregnancy centers, through a lot of the abortion recovery programs. And many of you are familiar with Project Rachel and some of the dioceses and the Rachel's Vineyard program. We just basically got the word out and said, if you've had an abortion, have come through healing, very important, and are ready to share your experience, we're going to gather in front of the Supreme Court, and we're going to make this happen. Simultaneously, we also came in contact with Jennifer O'Neill. And a lot of you might remember Jennifer O'Neill from the 70s, early 70s. She was the actress in the one of the most famous movies they remember her from is Summer of 42. And she was a CoverGirl Cosmetics CoverGirl spokesperson for over 30 years. And she herself had an abortion. And she had been now come back to become a Christian for about 12 years. And she was going around talking in a lot of groups a little bit about her abortion, but just about coming back to know Jesus. And she heard about what Georgette and I were doing. And she said, you know what? I'm willing now, I think, to step out and share my experience. And I'm ready to boldly say that I regret my abortion too. And I'll be your national spokesperson. And believe me, I mean, Georgette and I, who do we know that's famous? I mean, for us, this was astounding. And I just knew it, God somehow was moving us along because, you know, we're not women of great stature or famous. And here's someone who had celebrity status willing to put that on the line and say, I'm going to come and be your national spokesperson. So last year, we came in front of the Supreme Court. And we had Jennifer O'Neill there and 60 women. Now, not this year, but the year before I'm talking about, 2003. The temperatures that night were like sub-freezing. If any of you went to the march last year, it was, brutal. Well, we got there at 5 o'clock. See, we were very strategic. If Nell's coming in at 6, we'll claim the space at 5, right? So we'll surprise them, and that's what we did. So we were there at 5 o'clock, and we had an outdoor speakers and everything, and 60 women came. It took us 2.5 hours for each woman to come up to that microphone and tell her story. Amazing. Not one woman left. They all stood together. And it was incredible. And at the same time, what was happening was we were being contacted with women around the country prior to this event, and they said, we can't come to Washington, but we want to have an event in our hometown. We had 50 events in 46 states during that week in 2003. I mean, that was God. It was God. Now, of course, now and NARAL, they showed up and did, and I'm going to show you in a few minutes that event, all right? And they showed up and did their thing, and they basically kind of looked at us, and I don't think they knew what to make of it all, but they kind of ignored us, and they were only there for about 45 minutes. Which just shows you who has more guts and determination. We were there for 2.5 hours freezing, and they were there for 45. So who's more committed to their cause? I think we are. Anyway, I'm going to show if Fran could. Where's Fran? I think what I'm going to do is let you see. Now, what you're going to see now is a combination. Just hold it 1 second, Fran. A combination of the 2003 and what we did was I put in some of the testimonies from this past year because we came back this past January. I also want you to see that Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., also contacted me. And matter of fact, she had been a guest, if some of you are EWTN fans in our series. She had been on our series 2 years ago talking about the parallel between the civil rights movement and the abortion issue and talking about her uncle Martin, how she knew if he was alive today he would be pro-life. At that time, she did not tell Father Pavone and I that she had an abortion. We had no idea. And a few months ago, prior to January, it was about in October, she gave me a call. She called me periodically. And she said, Janet, I'm so grateful, you know, for that opportunity to be on EWTN, and I've been hearing about your campaign, and I think I want to be a voice. So I said, oh, okay, Alveda. And then she says, yeah, Janet, I never told you and Father Pavone, but I had an abortion. And she goes, and I'm ready to step out and come with Jennifer O'Neill and the other women and share my story. So, I mean, it's just, you know, miraculous what's been happening to us. So let me let you see this now so you can get the flavor of what's been happening, and then I'll go into more of the other details about that. Go ahead, Fran.
There is only one decision I regret, and it is abortion.
I had an abortion, and it was something I regret to this day.
In January, women from across America braved bitter cold as they gathered along the steps of the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C.
This gathering of women is one of more than 50 gatherings happening throughout this country.
We're here today to say, we will be so
and women are still dying from legal abortion. The problem isn't legal or illegal. The problem is abortion hurts women. Abortion has caused us physical pain. Abortion has caused us infertility problems. Abortion has caused us infection problems. Abortion has caused us miscarriages. Abortion has hurt us emotionally. Abortion has caused us to suffer substance abuse. Abortion has caused us to suffer relationship problems. Abortion has caused us to have awful nightmares. It is time for the truth to be told. It is time for us to take our message to the public and let the world know that abortion is bad for women. They said to us that abortion was going to be safe. They said it was a simple procedure. But abortion has caused us more problems than it has solved. These women standing here all have a story to tell. I ask you to listen to our stories, and then I ask you to decide. While abortion might be a legal right, it is not right for women.
My story was one of a young girl that I was engaged, and I became pregnant, and I was thrilled. I was so excited. And the father of my baby not only did not want that baby, but he harassed me and pressed me and pushed me. Now, my case was this. I could have afforded the baby, but I didn't get the emotional support of the dad. I went to my doctor, I went to my mom and dad and for help. And they told me the lie from the pit of hell, which is the same lie that is told today, that that baby under 3 months gestation was just a blob of tissue. That if the father didn't want it, I could always have another baby. It wasn't even a baby. Now, my parents have changed their mind in the advent of ultrasound. When I would show them working in these campaigns, my parents live with me, and it just melted my heart that they finally turned to me and said, Jen, if we had known, we would have supported you. I folded. I was responsible for that abortion. But it wasn't a choice I wanted, but I was responsible. So I beat myself up for years. I had self-loathing, low self-esteem. You feel in your heart and your soul there's something wrong.
The daddy didn't want it. He was making threats. That still wasn't reason enough. But Roe versus Wade had just passed, and my medical insurance paid for it. And that was real crazy, now that I think back on it. But right after I did it, I began to wonder, did the baby feel it? Did it hurt? Was it a boy? Was it a girl? And I went through that until 1983 when I was born again. And I was assured by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that I was forgiven and I would see that baby again. But even today, I wonder, was it a boy or was it a girl?
I might be the only man here tonight giving testimony. But 30 years ago, I wasn't a real man. And my girlfriend actually went to the abortion mill all by herself. I didn't even go with it. And about 3 months later, I saw a big change in the whole personality of my girlfriend, and I sat down, and there was some things stirring inside of me. I wasn't really sure what it was. And I asked her, I said, you know, you're not right. There's something wrong. And she said, I can't get over the fact that, you know, we've killed our child. And I realized how small of a man I was, because if I had gone with her that day, I probably would have realized what was happening. Maybe I would have realized what was happening. Maybe I would have saw how upset, how broken she was, and taken her by the hand and said, come on, let's get out of this place. And I didn't even do that.
I went to that clinic because everybody had told me that it was the only thing that I could do as a 16-year-old girl facing a crisis pregnancy. They wouldn't let me see my ultrasound.
I was 17, single, and pregnant. How I wish I would have waited for true love, waited until marriage. It all started with my fall from chastity. I'm here because I want young people to respect themselves more than I did. My so-called boyfriend said he wasn't going to be the dad. The doctor said just removal of some tissue, no big deal. My mom said an abortion would be the best thing. The best thing for who? Not my baby, not me. She said it would end the pain I was in. Abortion did not end my pain, it began it. Encouraging someone to get an abortion is not helping. At the abortion clinic, all they cared about was getting the money. They never told me of the consequences. What they did not tell me was for 12 years I would suffer from feelings of great despair and loss, that I would become insanely insecure and have great depths of loneliness, that I would marry the man whose baby it was, and that I would end up hating him because he did not protect his family, and that our marriage would end in a bitter divorce. They did not tell me having an abortion would increase the chances of having a miscarriage and the inability to be pregnant again. They did not tell me that my menstrual cycle every month would be a painful physical reminder of the abortion and haunt me as my arms remain empty of my own child. They did not tell me that even though I've had great healing, that my heart would break and the tears would flow at the feel of a toddler's hand in mine, and that I would be not done crying just yet. I was in a dysfunctional, abusive marriage. I was abusing cocaine, alcohol, and methamphetamines. I tell you this not to excuse what I did, but because the abortion industry would have you believe that any one of those things I just mentioned was an ideal reason to kill my child, and that's what I heard. I heard it from every person I went to. I heard it from the doctor I went to, and God forgive him, I heard it from a minister. You don't want to bring a child into the world addicted to cocaine with fetal alcohol syndrome, probably major brain damage. The kind thing to do is to send this baby back to God. The kind thing to do is to wait and have children later. You want to have children. You just don't want to have them right now. Well, it's all a lie. It's a lie from the evil one, the father of lies. But it's a very easy lie to believe, and like millions of my sisters, I believed it, I went ahead and I did it. And like millions of my sisters, I had the migraines, the eating disorders, the relationship problems, the inability to bond. So I lay there and listened to the vacuum cleaner suction out my baby. Not only did the baby die, but a part of me died that day also. I started using drugs and alcohol just to try to cover up the pain, because the same people who told me that it was okay, not a big deal, nobody wanted to listen to me afterwards and hear me cry. I fell into a really deep depression, stayed in my bed for weeks.
Nobody told me that I would walk into this self-hatred that would drive me toward death. Nobody told me that I would use drugs to numb the pain, alcohol, become a workaholic, live on coffee and cigarettes. Nobody told me that when I would get married, that the marital embrace would become an abortion connector. Nobody told me that pregnant women would become an abortion connector, that the sound of a drill would throw me back. Nobody told me that I wouldn't even know what my emotional responses were connected to. Nobody would tell me that one day an ectopic pregnancy would break my denial, and that I would flash back and relive the event of the death of Sarah Elizabeth. And nobody told me that as I grieve Joseph Michael Steenstra, that I would begin to grieve Sarah Elizabeth. And nobody told me that that ectopic pregnancy, which took away my left fallopian tube, would be the only other child that I would conceive. And nobody told me that I would contract pelvic inflammatory disease while I was acting out my self-hatred and became promiscuous. Do I regret my abortion? Absolutely.
I hear these women telling these stories, and I can stand there and say, yeah, that happened to me. Yeah, that was me too. That was me too. And it's just this long list of things, you know? For me, it was turning to drugs and alcohol right after my abortion. For 5 months afterward, I have no recollection of what I had done, you know, as far as what my life was. 7 months, I attempted suicide. Within a year, I became pregnant again with the replacement baby. For these women, every time they tell their story, they're reliving their abortion experience. They're reliving the death of their child. These ladies acknowledge the fact and mourn their children. Some of them, on the anniversary of their abortion, they have prayer services, a memorial service set for their dead child.
The baby is not the only one who dies. That big parts of his mother die right along with him, physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and sometimes, yes, as I said, physically, many of us do commit suicide. And she keeps on dying
until something breaks her out of her denial and her healing process begins.
I started having nightmares and depression, and I had to seek help, and I realized I needed help for this healing. And I got it, and God's been good to me, and this ministry's been good for me.
I love this scar. I love it. I love the fact that I don't have two breasts anymore. That I was 31 years old when a doctor told me that I may not see my beautiful 3-year-old daughter grow up. I love the scar, and do you know why I love the scar? I love it because it gave me the courage that I needed to love my dead child. Because for years I lied and I would tell everybody I never had an abortion. Even my doctors, I would say, I never had an abortion. And when I finally did tell one doctor, he said I didn't need to worry about it because there's no risk with breast cancer and abortion. And I hope, standing before all of you today, that you now see and that you now will know that there is definitely a link between abortion and breast cancer. The day after I learned that I had breast cancer, I learned that I was pregnant. And there were many people who thought that my child should die because I had a little girl that I needed to raise. And having gone through what I had gone through, there was no way that I was going to kill my child. So I went through chemotherapy with my baby, and I am proud to say that he is 16 months old today, and he is beautiful, he is healthy, and he is strong. So for all those people who say we need abortion for women's health, I hope I am evidence that that is not true.
Women deserve better than abortion. We as a society deserve better than abortion. And I'm here because I care about women and men who bought the lie, who've been victims of abortion. I want them to know they're not alone and that there's help.
We are the survivors of abortion. Yes. You know, and I just, these women are awesome. They're so courageous to share their stories. And
you are with us.
Yes. I'm right here. But absolutely, I regret my abortion, but I'm also very grateful that God has turned it around and has used it to hopefully help another woman.
We will be here to teach those that simply don't understand, and we will hopefully change hearts and change minds in a culture that's lost its way and thinks the only hopeful answer to offer a woman in crisis is the death of her child.
You have to be the voices for these women.
That's right.
And every opportunity you get, you heard a lot of information here tonight. But just don't go home and go back to your safety comfort zones. Speak up. Speak out. If you hear of a girl who's pregnant, say, there's better choices. And I know, because I was there at the Supreme Court. You know what happened? I heard women who had abortions. You don't want to do that. Repeat some of these things. Stop a girl from following down this road. It's a dead end.
Yes.
It's a dead end. And you know what? If you know someone who's had an abortion, love them.
Yes.
Reach out to them.
Yes.
I especially urge churches to help women. Women deserve better than abortion.
Ironically, groups such as NOW and NARAL that claim to be pro-choice do not support efforts to offer total choice, including alternative choices to abortion. Their opposition to the Silent No More Awareness event drew shouts of protest. While their campaign is clearly based on legal and political issues, the goal of Silent No More Awareness is to offer healing of the pain from abortion and to expose the damage abortion does to women. The Silent No More Awareness campaign is Christian-based with no particular denominational affiliation. We have no political or legal agenda. Women deserve better than just legalize abortion to deal with an unplanned pregnancy.
We are the voice of this generation. Time has come to heal our nation. Break the silence. Time to turn. Rise to reason. Mercy yearns. We are the voice of this generation. And time has come to heal our nation. Amen.
We are the voice of this generation.
time has come to heal this nation. Break the silence. Time to turn rhetoric into reason. We are silent no more.
Well, that gives you an idea now what has happened in front of the Supreme Court the past two Januaries, what had happened in events around the country. And the campaign has been growing. What happened after the first year, Georgette and I developed a website called silentnomoreawareness.org. There's a brochure outside you'll see on the speaker's table. You can take it so you remember that website. And people who want to be involved with this campaign go up to that website. We have over 1,600 people have gone up there and registered thus far. And we're getting new registrations every day. Now, who can be involved in the campaign is everybody. All right, everyone has been touched by abortion. All right, either you're a woman who's had an abortion or you're a man who took a girl many years ago. You know, there's a lot of men out there who are now married and have a family. But when they were younger, they made this mistake. They paid for an abortion. They took their girlfriend for an abortion or pressured her into it. Or some men couldn't stop the girl, and they're grieving the loss of their child because they couldn't stop this girl from having the abortion. So we now developed a new sign for the men, by the way, which should be arriving at my office hopefully by the end of this week, next week, I mean, called for the men that says, "I regret lost fatherhood." So you saw there was one gentleman joined us this year. We're hoping next year that there'll be more gentlemen who want to come and share their grief over their cooperation or their involvement in abortion that have come through healing. So they'll have signs that say, "I regret lost fatherhood." But there's grandparents out there. And again, on the grandparent end, there's several different aspects of that. There's some mothers or fathers who, in fact, encouraged or took their daughter for an abortion. There's others, though, who unfortunately didn't even know that their daughter went for an abortion. And I personally can speak from experience. And I'm going to share with you a personal testimony of myself. One of my daughters, it was in 2002, discovered she was pregnant. And I have three daughters, and you know that, and they're all in their 20s. And we talked about the abortion issue a lot in my house. And they knew if anyone was ever pregnant, they could come to me, you know, because obviously with the work I'm in, I'm going to help them no matter what. That's my daughter and that's my grandchild. Well, unbeknownst to me, my daughter got on a plane to Dallas, Texas. How ironic, Dallas, right? Many of you know Norma McCorvey, the Jane Roe or Roe v. Wade. That's where she's from. That's where the Supreme Court case started. And I am personal friends with Norma McCorvey. And I know all the people in Dallas, you know, the pro-life groups down there, the people who counsel outside the abortion mills. Matter of fact, a few months before that, I had been down there counseling outside an abortion mill with Father Pavone. So now I've been the kind of person who's been out there trying to stop girls from going to abortion clinic. And here, unbeknownst to me, my daughter gets on a plane and flies to Dallas, and she walks into the Fairmount Clinic. And my daughter is also a recent diagnosed diabetic, so now she's at a really big risk to go into this abortion clinic. But she did it. She actually walked past one of the sidewalk counselors that I know, and they didn't recognize her, but you know, they tried to stop her. And she said to me later, when she was so sorry what she had done, she said, "You know, Mom, I kind of figured you must have been some of your friends out there, but I just thought that this was the right thing," because she was aspiring at that point to go on to law school. See, this is the reason why girls have abortions, most of them. Because even though she knew she had my support, she knew, you know, she's a learning disabled child, and she had gotten into law school. And she said to herself, "If I don't go to law school now, I may never get in again because of my disability." So she walked into that abortion clinic, and she was barely 6 weeks pregnant, okay, which was criminal that they even took her. They didn't even ask all her medical information. They did not know she was a diabetic, and they took her into the procedure room. At that point, she was crying and apparently wanted to leave, and they said, "Don't worry, honey, it'll be over in a few minutes." They did something to her, but were not quite sure, and they let her leave. She thought she had the abortion. All right. And then she calls me a couple hours later because now she's sick. She's in Dallas, and I was speaking out in California, and I get a call at what was about 3 o'clock in the morning out in California. And she's hysterical crying, and now she's telling me what she did and all this. And I said to her, okay, calm down. And luckily, I have these good great friends in Dallas. So I called my dear friend John Everett, who is the head of the Crisis Pregnancy Center in Dallas called the White Rose Center. And I said, John, I need your help, and I need you to get to my daughter. And he did. And that morning, he brought her into the White Rose, and they did a sonogram on her. And she was still pregnant, thank God. Unfortunately, she ended up miscarrying that baby 4 months later. So what I'm here to tell you is that abortion affects all of us. And I know some of you out there today sitting here might have a story like mine. You know, maybe even though we've warned our kids, don't do this, don't go down this road, something scares them, all right? Now, in my case, it wasn't that she was afraid to come to me. She was afraid that this dream of hers would be shattered, that she would never get into law school. And for somehow, that fear just even though she knew all the information, you see what I'm trying to say? Even though she talked to me, she knew the information, she still went. The amazing thing about the abortion clinic is they never documented that she was a diabetic. When she got back to New York and I took her to her OBGYN to be cared for now to have the baby, her doctor tried to request her medical records. Amazingly, they didn't have them. They were lost. They couldn't find them. I mean, I was going to really pursue something with that clinic because what they did was, just like a lot of us know, they do not give these women good care. So back to the story. What I'm trying to share with you here is to say that abortion has affected all of us. After 30 years of legalized abortion, you all know someone who's had an abortion. Might be your next-door neighbor, might be a cousin, some relative. Some of these women have now come back, like the women you've seen on the tape here. They've come back to healing. They've realized what they did wrong. They've come back to their faith. And whether they're of a Protestant denomination or a Catholic, they come back to whatever they were raised in, whether they're Episcopal or Baptist or whatever. They come back for healing and forgiveness. See, because society is telling them that abortion's okay. Society is saying you just have an abortion and you move on. It's a simple and safe, quote-unquote, as they put it, procedure. The problem is these women do not move on. These women acknowledge the loss of their child. You know, my daughter mourns the loss of her child, and I mourn the loss of my grandchild. It's a forever experience. And like I told you on the tape, a lot of these women on the anniversary of their abortion, they have masses said. They have memorial services, prayer services. A day doesn't go by that they do not remember that child. All right? So what I'm asking you to do is to spread the word that abortion is a devastating thing to women and that if a child dies. You see, so far with the abortion debate, we've done a great job with, thanks to the advent of the 4D ultrasound, people know it's a baby. They know. They admit it. You talk to people on the pro-choice side. Matter of fact, I dialogue with Ron Fitzsimmons, of the head of the National Coalition of Abortion Providers, with Bill Baird. These people look me right in the eye and say, we know it's killing a baby, but this is what the women need. But the truth is, this is not good medicine for women. So I'm asking you to be that voice, because this is how we're going to change the debate. Because you know what? I'm sure a lot of you know people out there, and this is the hardest thing we have, where people will say, oh, I'm against abortion. Oh, I wouldn't encourage anyone to have them. But, this is the big but, I don't think we should change the law or stop a woman who wants to do that because I shouldn't interfere in her right to choose. If you listen to these stories, are these women choosing to have these abortions? Absolutely not. They feel trapped, abandoned. They feel their college education threatened, their jobs been threatened. Some of them, their boyfriend is threatening to walk out on them. And we know after they have the abortion, guess what? They end up breaking up. The relationship doesn't stick. So we have to get this message out because this is how we're going to get these people out of that mushy middle. You know, too many of us, we work so hard in this movement. We're trying to convince people now to vote pro-life, right? And they march in time and time again, and they elect candidates that are for abortion. You've got to give them these women's stories, see, because we've got to knock that butt out of the language. We've got to get them to realize we're not serving women. We're making them crumble. We're devastating their lives. And yes, there are some women, they walk out of abortion clinic. I'm not saying every woman regrets her abortion. But you know something? 99% of them will come to regret it. If you listen to those women's stories, most of those girls had their abortion that stood in front of the Supreme Court 10, 15, 20, and 25 years ago. They live in denial for a long period of time. They abuse alcohol, drugs. You heard those testimonies. It's a long process of a spiral downfall that they go through. So we've got to get this word out. Because this is the thing that's going to stop these people from somehow clinging on to choice because they think it's great for women. You've got to repeat these facts and these stories and get the message out there. Now, the other thing we can do is we want to help support having more gatherings around the country. Matter of fact, of course, next January we'll be doing it back in Washington. But if you'd like to see some of these gatherings in the state of Delaware, what we encourage is pick a public place where there's a high volume of people walking by. You know, maybe in front of town hall during the week, lunchtime, you know, when everyone's out on the street and milling around. Because the media will not cover this. We had a miracle in the first year. The next day, on January 23rd, in the Washington Post, they actually put a picture of those women holding the signs. For me, that was a miracle breakthrough. And Jennifer O'Neill was on the O'Reilly Factor this year. But other than that, the reporting on this is minute, and you know that. So we've got to take this message, and that we've got to get it out onto the public square, into the street, where people are going to hear it. So if you're interested in being an event coordinator for one of these events, you'd be in touch with us. Go up to our website and register. If you know a girl who's hurting from an abortion experience, give them the brochure that I have out on that table. Up on our website, what we're doing is we're networking with all the abortion recovery programs around the country. Up on the website, we have books that you can that they can get. Some of them are Bible study programs. There's hotline numbers where people can get 24/7 where they can talk to someone, you know, that they need to talk to about this and take first steps. There's even online counseling available where they can initially, you know, some of them are so locked in this shame. They're afraid to even go to someone, so they can take initial steps by first emailing someone and a counselor and begin talking about their experience. So I want you to spread the message of the Silent No More Awareness campaign, of our website, and I invite all of you to go up there and visit the website and learn more about the damage that abortion has done to us. You know, 31 years now of legal abortion in this country, it has affected us as a society as a whole. There's not one person here that has not been impacted in one way or another. And the thing is, we need you to be the voice and reach out to these people and show them that there's an answer, that there's help available. Now, looking ahead real soon, a lot of you heard about April 25th, the National Organization of Women. They're having a big rally in Washington, Sunday, April 25th. Well, we're going to come back with the women, and we're not going to give testimonies this time, but we've gained permits for some of the streets that are right around their rally. So we're going to come with these signs. Some of the women are going to hold those signs. The men will come, those who want to hold the I Regret Lost Fatherhood. And we're going to have a big, big, beautiful smiley face sign for any pro-lifers that want to come and join us. And it's just going to say, I'm pro-life. Very positive message. And we're going to surround their rally of lies, which what we call a prayerful ring of truth. We're going to be there as a public witness with our signs, and we're going to be praying for them for conversion. Part of like what Mike Schwartz said this morning, conversion. Because a lot of the girls that you saw in this video were on that side. You know, they were caught carrying members, some of them are now way back when. They thought choice was good. So we know in time some of those very people that we're going to face off with on April 25th will come back. They'll come back and realize the regret. So if you'd like to be involved with the campaign, please register on our website. Your names, by the way, anyone who goes up on the Silent No More Awareness campaign website and registers are kept strictly confidential. We do not share the names with any pro-life group. You're not used for fundraising. You will only get a monthly e-letter from Georgette and I to tell you what's going on with the campaign. The other thing, too, is if you have an event and you would like, for instance, if there's a woman's right to know bill in your state, and you need women to come and testify, if you give us what you're looking for and who the contact person is, we'll put that in our monthly e-letter and we send it out. I'll give you a real good example. we had a woman who's a teacher, and she goes to the National Education Association convention every year. And as you know, the NEA, shameful that I'm also a teacher, takes a pro-abortion position. And, you know, I always find that baffling. Teachers should be the most pro-life people of all, because after all, don't they want job security? What are you, aborting your future clients here? You know, it's mind-boggling. But anyway, this girl said that she wanted to go to the convention next year and begin getting some women who also had an abortion but were teachers to begin lobbying the NEA. So we put her request in our e-letter, and just in the first month, she had five girls who get our e-letter who had an abortion that said to her, you know what, we're going to come to the convention with you next year. So this is the other purpose of the campaign. We want to help serve the movement. You know, we want to say that if you need post-abortive women to come forward at a certain situation, tell us what the situation is and who the contact person is, and we'll put the word out there and see who wants to get involved. There's room in this campaign for everybody. And then finally, really good news. We have our first billboard. There's flyers out on the speaker table. It's with Jennifer O'Neill, and it's I Regret My Abortion. If you do too, there's help. And we put the 1-800-395-HELP number, which is the toll-free 24/7 number for Care Not and Heartbeat. Because we've been working with those two CPCs, and what's happened is now they're adopting a lot of them post-abortion ministries out of their CPC because they see it being such a need. So this billboard, by the way, is available through Victory One. On their website, you can go up and see about ordering it. And the picture here is fabulous. In Wisconsin, you could take copies of it. I have it out there. They rented the Knights of Columbus in Wisconsin, got a one-year contract on a billboard right across the street from a Planned Parenthood. So you see this billboard, and then you see Planned Parenthood, and it's driving them absolutely insane. So think about that. That's a great project to get some of these billboards up and down the state of Delaware, you know, strategically placed. Anyway, and just finally in closing, be in touch with us. I want you involved in this campaign because there's room for everyone in it. And if anyone's interested in the video you saw here, I have copies for sale on the back table. And also Heritage House has produced products for us to help spread the message. Besides the I Regret My Abortion, we have the phrase Women Do Regret Abortion. There's envelope stickers and T-shirts. And we just really need to spread the word that, you know, abortion is not good for women, it's not serving them, and that there are women out there ready to speak publicly about the damage it did to your lives. And finally, I put these little yellow cards out there. I'd love to be in touch with everyone here. Please fill them out, especially your email address. If you'd like to get Father Pavone does a biweekly pro-life commentary, I'd like to put you on his e-list. If you'd like to also be put on the Silent No More e-list, just fill out the card, put at the bottom Silent No More Awareness, and we'll register you to get our e-letter too. And I want to thank you for inviting me here. It's been a pleasure, and God bless you and all the work you do. And thank you.